My name is Chloe Watson. I'm 18 years old. Today is December 1st, and I'm speaking with Elizabeth Watson, who is my mother. I'm recording this interview in our home in Newport News, Virginia.
My name is Elizabeth Watson. I'm 50 years old. Today is December 1st, and I'm speaking with Chloe Watson, who is my daughter, and I'm recording in Newport News, Virginia.
Okay. So today we're going to be talking about how music has evolved over your lifetime. Although you don't work in the music industry, you're someone who's always been very passionate about music. Just to provide a little context, could you speak to this a little or tell an interesting story you have involving music?
I think I've met a lot of bands, okay? I listened to a lot of punk rock music. I went to a lot of shows. But the best experience was the very first Lollapalooza. And this was in Raleigh, North Carolina, Walnut Creek Amphitheater, where we actually got backstage, and I got on the Ice-T's tour bus, and New Jack City, I guess, had just come out. So we're watching New Jack City drinking Dom Perignon, and of course he's touring with Body Count, because he was in Body Count, or still is in Body Count, but so that's how we got backstage. My friend Susan was the hot one. I was just kind of cute. They liked my friend Susan, so we got backstage. We went on the tour bus. We got on stage for Lollapalooza. I sat next to Henry Rollins on an amplifier. I met Perry Farrell in person. Like, he literally came up to me and said, "Hey, what's up, girl?" I met Susie and the Banshees. I saw Susie. I mean, we were, like, right backstage for all of it, and that was, like, the best memory, I think, of a concert.
Very cool. So how did you first start getting interested in music? And do you remember what major platforms were popular when you first started listening to music as a hobby?
Well, first of all, when I was little growing up, my dad played the piano, like classical piano in the house. So I grew up with classical piano. But then my next door neighbors, my best friend Missy, she had older brothers and sisters who listened to Led Zeppelin and, you know, all the classic rock. And we would actually sit in her parents' Maverick, which was an old car, and listen to 8-track tapes in the car. And then, of course, you know, it just became cassette tapes, records. You know, I think I had... REO Speedwagon. I took Michael Jackson off the wall when I was in elementary school. It was like a double album, and you opened it up and it had Michael Jackson, like a big, you know, fold out thing of him. And in fifth grade, I took it. We all took our albums to like the playground because we were so cool. So yeah, Michael Jackson off the wall. That was a big one for me. And then, you know, of course, everything just got cassette tapes in the car. And then, you know, it's just evolved since then. CD players and blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, so you were around when CDs started becoming popular. What were your initial thoughts about that?
They were expensive. A lot of people tried to steal them at the mall. But, yeah, they were definitely expensive. And I think at first you couldn't really notice a difference, like, in the quality. But now if you listen, if I go back and now find an old cassette tape or a record and then play a CD, yeah, the quality is, like, much better.
Okay, so you also saw the rise of online music streaming.
Yes.
What were your initial thoughts about that?
Expensive. Like, I didn't want to pay for that, but now it's all I do. Now I love it.
So since you've lived all these platforms, would you say that that's your favorite? Do you have a preference? So, like, do you think that streaming is more beneficial than the other platforms?
I like that I can make a playlist. And, like, if you, okay, let's say you had a 6-disc CD player, you had to go through pretty much, like, every CD and listen to all the songs before it would get to the next disc. But, like, if you make a playlist with streaming, then you can put your favorites of everything. Now, of course, back in the day, we could make a mixtape, which involved the cassette tapes and having to pause and, you know, which that was a lot of work. We spent a lot of time on mixtapes. But, yeah, it's definitely a much better platform now.
Yeah. So would you go back to the simpler ways of listening to music? Do you think there are any benefits to that, or?
I think vinyl's cool. I mean, it seems to be making a comeback, but for me, I mean, I'm 50 years old. I just want something simple and
And convenient.
And convenient, yes.
Do you think my generation takes for granted having so much music at our fingertips since we can listen to anything and you guys had to, you know, sit and wait? And I know you talked about on like MTV having to wait around to your favorite songs.
Yes, like they would tell you when Thriller would come on, like the video would come on, and you would literally like sit in front of the TV and like you would wait for a video to come on. But maybe it kind of made you appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, like, I don't know. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And we would have people over and you'd have like a Thriller party and like all your friends would be in front of the TV and just, you know, and watch it.
Okay. So do you think that streaming has had any impact of like the quality of music you see today?
I don't think that streaming has anything to do with the quality. I don't know. Really think so.
So how have you found new music changed over time? Is it different from when you started listening?
I have listened to, like, literally everything. I went through all sorts of phases. I listened, like, I was obsessed with Van Halen, Billy Idol. You know, they were plastered all over my wall. And then I went through this hardcore punk rock phase where I listened to, like, just hardcore. Cro-Mags, The Accused, Minor Threat, Black Flag. And then I listened to Backstreet Boys, and then I just listened to everything. I think maybe you can, like, with streaming, you can, you have more access to that stuff.
Yeah. You know? So, like, back in the day, was it
you
more... Were,
you had to buy, like, a whole cassette. Like, if you liked one song of something, you had to buy, like, a whole CD, or you had to buy a whole cassette. Mm-hmm. And, like, just listen to the whole thing. Go, I mean, a cassette tape, you fast forward, stop. You never knew where you were going to, you know, go. Mm-hmm.
So would you say it was, like, more word of mouth, like, finding out about bands back in the day versus now you can kind of curate it on your own on Spotify?
But we did have MTV, which, like, they had this kind of, like, new wave kind of, like, 120 minutes or Headbangers Ball where, like, you could, like, it was dedicated to, like, one genre of music, you know, and you could sit there and, you know, pick and choose what you like. And I literally would sit there in front of the TV, like 120 minutes, and I would videotape it, or I would sit there with a notebook, and I was like, I would write down the name of the band and the song.
Okay.
But so, you had to buy the whole album.
Yeah. Was radio ever, like, a factor in finding new music in the past? Like, when were you more likely to, like, listen to the radio? What occasions?
I listened to the radio on the way to school. Mm-hmm. Just basically, if you were in the car, if I was in the car, I listened to the radio. And then if I was in the car, basically, you know, my mom or dad were driving. So it wasn't, you know, my mom was really cool about letting me put in whatever tape I wanted to listen to. So dad was not.
I feel like the occasions of like listening to radio were pretty much the same. But do you find yourself listening to less radio now that you have like features in the car, such as Bluetooth streaming?
I don't listen to radio a whole lot now, especially if I'm taking a road trip. Like if I'm coming to visit you at Richmond, I want to take my playlist and just stream that. And definitely don't listen to a lot of radio now.
Okay. So how have you seen what type of music's popular changing over time? What genres were popular when you were a teenager compared to today?
Like in the 80s, I grew up, you know, in high school, it was the 80s. So we had everything. But now you guys all listen to just rap. It's like everything is just rap, which I like. I mean, I've listened to a lot of it, but yeah, it's definitely, you guys just listen to rap.
I figured you were going to say that. So I was going to ask, when do you remember hip-hop starting to, like, first gain popularity?
We had the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. We had Fresh Prince, Jazzy Jeff, Run DMC, Public Enemy. Loved Public Enemy. De La Soul. It definitely wasn't as mainstream as... I don't know, but there was music changed a lot in the 80s. There were so many different, you know, we listened to everything in the 80s, so, but But yeah, now it's definitely just a lot of vulgar rap, pretty much, yeah.
So do you think rap has changed a lot over time, like what you first see and then today's?
Yes, because it's just, they can say anything they want. It's vulgar. And then I think like a lot of, they all sound a lot alike. I don't know. They just have the same like beats and like, I can't really describe it. But yeah.
Okay, so many people claim there's been a decline in social music and events where people like listen to music together and an increase in individual personalized music. Have you noticed that trend and do you think it's true?
What do you really mean by socialized music?
Like, you know, like there used to be huge events where people would go and they'd either listen to like the orchestra together back in the day or just concerts in general. But now people more like listening to music on their own and it's less of like a social thing.
There's huge festivals like Coachella, and I think people really like these long, like drawn out, like 3-day music festivals. Like, I mean, there's a lot of concerts people go to, and we were supposed to go to, what was it? The Pharrell, Something in the Water. And I'm really bummed that we didn't get to see that because of COVID. But I mean, I know I still love going to concerts. So yeah, I don't really know.
So I was gonna say one way that have like socially listening to music that has remained popular are concerts. So do you remember your first like real concert and what it was like?
I went to Motley Crue and it was at the Hampton Coliseum, and we got dropped off. Of course, I think we were in, I don't know, it was ninth grade or yeah, I think it was ninth grade. But yeah, I saw Motley Crue, and I forget who played with them, but I remember I had on a jean skirt and a pink tie-dye shirt, and it was crazy. It was definitely an experience. For that to be my first concert, Motley Crue was definitely something to remember. But then I remember seeing, like, Sting at William & Mary, and that was one of the earlier ones, you know, when I started seeing concerts, I saw them, and yeah, so...
Do you think that the concert experience has changed over the years?
Yes, because like I said, it's more festivals now. And you have more than one band. Like, you've got like all these bands and they're multiple days. And they're super, super expensive. And like, it was just so... I remember it not being... It didn't cost a lot of money to go to a concert, but...
So, like, other than the festival difference, like, what have you noticed, like, going to concerts today? Like, do you think people connect as much? Do you think there's as much interaction? Do you think the crowds are tamer? What?
I am old, so for me, I can't really say, because I don't, you know, I think the crowd is younger, and I still love music, so I still go, but I can't really say, because we used to meet people everywhere we went. I just remember that being young. We just met people everywhere we went. I don't meet people everywhere I go now, but that's probably because I'm old, so.
When it came to concerts before the internet, how did you find out when artists were playing a show in your area?
It was usually in the newspaper, just from friends, you know. Gosh, I don't really remember. But yeah, it was in the newspaper. You might see an ad on TV. When it came to, like, the smaller clubs and stuff like that, like, around OU and stuff and colleges and stuff, you would get flyers. And somebody would get a flyer, and then you would pick up the telephone, and you would call your friend. You actually had to call someone. So, yeah, that's basically how we found out, just word of mouth, you know, people getting together and talking about it, or a flyer, or if it was a big concert, it was usually in the newspaper. So,
okay,
and yes, newspapers were a big deal.
So online ticketing is hugely popular now. How did you actually buy the tickets before that was an option?
Okay, we had to go to like Farm Fresh had Ticketmaster, and it was Ticketmaster, and you would get an actual ticket stub, which you guys don't get today, which we saved all these ticket stubs. But yeah, you would, I think Farm Fresh was a big Ticketmaster hub, and you could go there and get, you actually buy a ticket. Didn't do anything online. Okay. Or you'd pay a cover. If it was in a small bar, you know, you would pay a cover. Like a club, to see some of the punk bands and stuff we would see. Where they were usually, like, in clubs. And you would pay a cover at the door.
Okay. So, other than introducing streaming, the internet's also had other, like, large impacts on how we're interacting with music today. Was it harder to find information about musicians you liked before the internet?
Yes, definitely. But you had magazines. So... we would buy magazines. I mean, Rolling Stone, obviously. Tiger Beat, like all these cheesy magazines, you know. And you would get posters. But you could go to like, in Ward's Corner, there was this huge record store. I think it was called Trax. And you could always go, oh, that's how we found out about concerts too. Because they would always have a list of like all the bands and stuff that were coming. You could go to a record store and find out about that. But I forgot what the question was. Repeat it.
I was asking if it was harder to find information about musicians you liked.
Yeah, I mean, you had to go to a music store. You had to, like, but magazines. Magazines is how we found it. There were magazines everywhere, and you would just buy a magazine about it, you know.
That was actually the next question I was going to ask.
Spin, Rolling Stone.
If you subscribe to any magazines like Rolling Stone.
No, I didn't subscribe to anything, but you would always go buy them in the store.
The record store?
Not the record store. Like, they were, like, at the magazines were huge, like, at the grocery store and stuff. Or you could go to a bookstore and buy them. But, yeah, they would. A big thing I loved, Andy Warhol, I loved Interview, but that doesn't really have anything to do with music, but... Spin was a good one, Rolling Stone, mm-hmm. And that's how you learned.
So do you still find yourself reading any of these magazines, like online articles or
interacting with articles, you know, but it's more like, you know, if I'm on MSN or something, in the entertainment section, you know, if something pops up, then I'll click on it.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I don't really search out any information anymore, I guess.
Okay, so now that you have the option to find out about musicians' lives through social media, do you follow any of the musicians you're interested in?
I do. I like the Strokes. I follow them. I went through that Panic at the Disco phase, and I follow them. But yeah, I mean, I'm not as into... I think it's probably my age, though. Maybe.
Yeah, so I was going to ask, do you think it's useful?
It's not as obsessed. As like I was obsessed with music, you know, when I was a teenager and stuff, and even early 20s and stuff, you know, I was obsessed. But now I think a lot of it has to do with my age.
Yeah, you're just not as interested.
But I mean, sometimes something, you know, I guess I more like their relationships, like, you know, if they have kids, mm-hmm. and you know,
so you like being able to find out about their personal lives.
Yeah, I do.
That factor.
I think it's still interesting to me, yes.
Okay. And so, like, there's also a big sharing aspect involved with social media. Do you ever, like, share the music you're listening to with your friends?
I do. And it drives them crazy because they don't all listen to the same stuff that I do. But sometimes I get inspired and I'm listening to a song and I'll post it on Facebook. I'm like, Liz is listening to this. And... yeah, I drive them crazy. But sometimes people have complimented me on it, too. Like, I have a coworker, and she's like, you're always posting cool songs on Facebook. And she's the girl, Jerry, that I work with. And she's, you know, so that makes me happy. A lot of people don't care, but at least if one person does, then I've done my job.
Have you found, like, any new music on social media through your friends posting something?
I do, all the time, like, and sometimes I'll see something actually on Facebook or something, and I'll go and listen to it, and then I'll decide don't like it. That happens a lot, but I do go and check it out, you know. Mm-hmm. Usually I don't like it, but
so I know you mentioned you enjoy being able to make playlists online. How does that actually compare to sitting down and making a mixtape?
Oh my gosh, it was so much work. It was so much work, and you had to like stop it at the exact time. I remember there was a Beach Boys concert on HBO, and I sat there with a little tape recorder with a microphone and held it up to the TV, and I and that's And I would just like, and then I would stop it when I liked a certain song, you know, I would turn it back on. But yeah, you had to really kind of time it. It took a lot of work. There was a lot of work that went into that. So you should appreciate a mixtape. And I wish I still had some. I wish I did.
So overall, do you think the internet's had a positive impact on how you listen to and share music?
Yeah, I love the internet. I really do. I love the internet.
I mean, yeah, that's simple.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
So I do love streaming better than, you know, I like having to go through a whole, oh, you could take it. If you had like an album, you knew like which you had to pick up the little needle and you could put it. You could kind of gauge where the new song was. That was a lot of work too. So that's how you skipped a song. You'd pick up the needle and you'd look for like the dark line and you'd put it, but you kind of had to get, that was a lot of work too. So yeah, the internet is like amazing. Mm-hmm. Skip, 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 but you have to pay to skip.
Very true.
True.
So my last questions are about how attitudes towards music have changed. You always hear about people being concerned about the impacts music has on the youth. Do you remember hearing about any of these fears? Like, you know, rock and roll coming around or...
Well, rap music, they say that that's so violent and stuff and that that has, a negative impact on a lot of things. But as for rock and roll and stuff, you know, until it just got really vulgar, I think that's the really only thing that I think has had an impact at all. Like, it's just gotten really vulgar.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's promoted violence or anything. Unless there was, like, skinhead music and stuff like that. I mean, you know, if you get into that kind of stuff, but I don't know.
So what were your parents' approaches to, like, deciding what music you'd be allowed to listen to?
My dad just hated everything because he was into classical music and, you know, he's very, very reserved. It was embarrassing for me to want to ask him to, like, put a tape in or listen to, like, whatever because he gave me such a hard time about it. My mom pretty much listened to anything. Like, I remember on the way to school in high school, a lot of it was like, oh, I went through a Tracy Chapman phase and 10,000 Maniacs. And she always, and The Cure, oh my gosh. And then The Smiths. But she always found something where she actually liked the music I listened to. So she didn't give me a hard time. Dad gave me a hard time.
Do you think raising me, your approaches were any different?
I mean, there were times when I didn't want you to listen to a lot of stuff that a lot of other kids listen to.
Just inappropriate stuff?
Yeah, inappropriate bad language. Things. Yeah, I was like, no, you can't listen to that, but...
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you think adults are any less concerned about, like, the impact music has on their children nowadays? Do you think they care less than when you were growing up?
We had the whole Tipper Gore thing.
What is that?
Tipper Gore, she was, like, Al Gore's wife, very conservative, and she was, like, really, she was really against music and stuff like that, but, I don't think so right now. I mean, I don't know what other parents are doing. Like I said, like, the music is so vulgar now, and it's on the radio.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you have to go out and buy it, you know, and buy it in the store. It's just, like, they play it on the radio, so, I mean, you can't stop your kid from listening to the radio.
Actually, I was wondering, how has censorship changed? Do you think did they still play the same stuff on the radio, or
no,
did it have to be way more censored back then?
I mean, I can't even think of an example, but yeah, like, what we thought was bad back then, it's like so innocent now. It's, you know, like, you would hear something on the radio like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they said that, and that was like nothing compared to what they say now, so.
Those are all the questions I have. Thank you.
You're welcome.